anybody that hot and they don't.
My intention with item four is to just to summarise some of the issues coming out of the email and the report of the trust, from the feedback from the trustees, but really to say where do we go from here, because we have to have some solution. We can't keep batting things to the trustees for them to be knocked back again or turned down, and then just keep going and doing it, because as Bob says, it's a pointless exercise. That's not what an audit board is supposed to do in a society, and that's not what a society is supposed to do with its audit board.
Is there a way around this by, for example, we're talking about setting out the methodology of each audit, aren't we? We're going to be having a menu of options, and this is what this audit's going to comprise, A, C, D, X, whatever. Is it possible that before we undertake those audits, that proposal goes to the trustees? They can do it by NEMCOM, can't they?
And then we review the processes, and if we see that they're deficient in some way, we make recommendations to the trustees for them to implement something to address that deficiency. That's our role. We don't need to ask the trustees which order they want us to tackle the risk register or anything like that. We decide on what we think are the things that we should be looking at, and we then make these recommendations. Now, in most charities and organisations, you appoint an independent audit board or committee so that you accept what they say, and the only reason you turn them down is because you can't afford to do it, or you don't have the resources, or they have made a mistake and you need to sit down with them and make them aware of the mistake.
Okay.
That's the way it should really work, and it's very unusual for an audit board to make recommendations to its trustees or its board of directors for those directors to just say, we disagree with it, what's next on the agenda?
I mean, this reflects my own
by electronically. I don't want to go over lots of old history and old ground, but I think as you joined the board recently, Claire, you should know at least that when we first started, one of the things we identified was that it's very unusual for the external auditors to be appointed by the Finance Committee. There is the implication of collusion between the Finance Committee and the external auditors. And in particular, the external auditors has been in place for over 11 years without any decision making. Just it seems to tick a box, renew it. So we made that recommendation to the trustees that normally the audit board appoint the external trustees so that there is a visible independence between the Finance Committee and the external auditors. And we put that to the trustees, and that caused another round of emails backwards and forwards from Jane Middleton and the chairman of the trustees, Phil Boyle. And it was really quite vitriolic, I think. At the end of that, I suggested that what would be useful was for me to go and attend a board meeting of the trustees and for them to explain our objectives and our role and our purpose and our usefulness, with the expectation that they would now realise what we were trying to do and try to help us more. I thought it was more like the Spanish Inquisition, to be fair. I don't know if the staff actually want to leave the meeting, because I don't want to put you in feel that you're in a compromised position.
Okay.
But in that meeting, the chief executive said there's no point in auditing because it's all in everybody's head. There's nothing written down. We worked like this for 150 years. We've never had a problem. I don't actually see any reason for auditing. Bill Tyack, who was then the president-elect, I think, said, I can't see why we have external auditors and now we need an audit board. They're the same thing. And I said, no, they're not, and we went around that before. So very little came out of that meeting, but one thing that did come out was that Phil Boyle would come to a meeting of our board and he would give the trustees perspective of what they wanted from us, their aims and their hopes, and what they saw as the contribution we would make as a board. He came to that meeting. At the end of the meeting, we all looked at each other and shook our heads and said, whatever did he talk about for an hour? That's not my personal view. I think that was the consensus of the meeting. Within a week of that, Philip Riley, who'd been on the Finance Committee for 20 years, our usefulness to the society wasn't, I think, evident. Having completed Bob's audit and my audit, and in my audit I had, because it was finance, I had set out the questions and I'd sent them to Tony Holmes so that he had time to go through them, 4 weeks or whatever, I'd sat down in an afternoon for 2 or 2.5 hours with him and gone through them in some detail. When I'd completed my audit, I'd sent a copy of the draft to him to say, can you let me know if there are any errors in that audit, actual specific errors, and can you tell me if there's anything you disagree with that I've got it wrong or it's a misunderstanding or whatever, because I can still change it at this stage before it's submitted. He wrote back more or less with a couple of minor changes where I had made mistakes, and more or less saying he was happy with the overall scope of that audit. I then submitted it, and then we got Phil Boyle's response saying that the finance director, the chairman of the finance committee, and the rest of the trustees felt that most of it was wrong. What he also said is that he was now going to send it to Haynes McIntyre, the auditors who've been appointed for 11 years in a row as the external auditors, to get them to arbitrate whether our report was appropriate or not.
Did he do that?
Which I assume yes. He's that got
he
that.
He did notice. Do that.
It's in progress.
We don't know yet what
and
the
since then,
external...
Since then, we haven't had any further correspondence with the chairman of the trustees.
That actually is unacceptable practice to send it to the external auditors. It's our report.
Yeah, yeah.
We should decide if it needs to go to them, not the board of trustees. Yeah.
So if you set aside the gobbledygook of his reply... in particular, he's saying that the trustees just throw it out, and he presumably speaks on behalf of all the trustees. I have sent a copy of it to another trustee to say, do you understand why are you doing this? I mean, what is the thinking behind throwing so much out? We can't get any sense out of Phil's email. Maybe you can clarify what the trustee's position is. I haven't had a response from that trustee. And I know Bob has sent a copy of it to David Marshall, who's an ex-president, saying, what's going on?
Well, David was part of the report. He was on the part of the team doing it.
Can I just clarify that the trustees haven't thrown it out? They've said they want an opinion outside of they want an opinion from somebody outside the CIDA who is an accountant.
But Haynes McIntyre are not outside the society. Mm.
They're the external auditors.
Yes.
They are therefore independent.
No.
Well, the trustees is independent because they've agreed that they're independent.
They can't be independent if they've been the auditors for the last decade.
Legislation states that you should review your auditors, and that is one of the criteria that may mean you are. Or they'll clarify any areas, and that's what the trustees want the best thing to do.
But some of that report, with respect, Beth, said that the way in which the external auditors, Haynes McIntyre, have been appointed. It's not acceptable, it's not in line with the Charity Commission's recommendation, but it's very much been in their interest to keep that status quo going for 11 years and not mention it.
It says, well, what you've got to also remember is that your external auditors are also subject to a code of conduct, of their professional code of conduct. The best way to deal with that is to get a second opinion.
I don't want to go back too much history. The last time I went to the chairman and said, the way that the external auditors should be appointed by the audit board. Phil Boyle phoned me and said the way to resolve this is for me and him and Jane Middleton to get in a meeting in London and we'll resolve it. He then phoned me up or wrote to me a month later and said, I've actually had a meeting with Jane Middleton and the external auditors, Haynes McIntyre, and they've recommended that we should carry on the way it's been, that the finance committee should report it. So he has already batted it once to Haynes McIntyre, one of our earlier recommendations. Now he's batted some more back to them. And I may be oversensitive, but he does say in his email, I'm in the awkward position of having the ACB saying one thing and pretty much all of the comments being rejected by the Society's Finance Director and the Chair of the Society's Finance Committee.
Yeah.
Having already
that isn't exactly. If that's not turning us down, it's pretty close
well,
to
it. In terms of we don't have a defined process, but in terms of the process of coming up with some conclusions, checking them with the person who you've interviewed to come to those discussions, and then publishing. That is exactly right. And for that person then in another different forum to turn round and say, look, this report is rubbish, then that to me is as much about the finance director going back on. And we can't operate like that. I mean, you know, it's sort of saying we can't, you know, we can't rely on any interview to come up with a set of recommendations that are not going to get overturned by the.
Speak for Tona, because obviously I would in this place when this happened.
What I would really like to do is not to go through it in detail, saying who said what and why did they say it and what do we disagree with, because there are a lot of things that are wrong with it. And I don't want to go through my reply. I think we're actually at a position where we have to say, well, what do we do with this as an audit board? And we have a whole range of spectrum of decisions we can make. One is do nothing, just sit back and just take it on the chin. Mm-hmm. Another one is we could say, and I personally come fairly close to this, to say I resign. Not just from the board, but from council and my fellowship, because I feel quite strongly that being treated like a school kid, when the society has said it needs after 150 years to have an audit board, and has asked the audit board to do some audits, and the notes that I sent to Phil, which were from some other auditing company, that 1.5 pages of what you expect to audit board, they summarise what we've been doing. We are not there to criticise, we are not there to resolve or solve things. We are there to highlight inconsistencies or problems associated with risk so that the trustees are aware of it. I think we've worked within our remit. So we could, any of us, me, the rest of us, could all resign as Tony Dart and Philip Riley did on the previous round, and I had to twist the arms of a couple of other people to stay on the board. So we could do that. We could go to the charity commission and say, we are members of a charity, we're an audit board, and we believe that the trustees are not behaving in the spirit of auditors. How can you give us any help as an audit board to get to resolve this situation? And that's going to kick up a lot of dust, because the charity commission are going to say, what's going on in the Royal Aeronautical Society? Exactly. But I'm sufficiently angry to consider that as a viable option. And I am not going to toady to people like Phil Boyle, who write almost abusive emails to me telling me I'm an idiot.
Yes, yes. Would it help you, Dave, if there was a vote of confidence?
If you go, the Charity Commission sets out the terms of reference of an audit committee. One question to the board, do you agree with the Charity Commission guidance? Yay or nay?
Well, they're going to have to. That's a non-sequitur, isn't it? They're going to say yes. We agree.
In which case
we go on.
We keep going.
I think. I mean.
In which case,
sorry,
what?
We do what Dave is saying we should be doing.
They can say they agree with the wording of the Charity Commission, but they still need to act in a way that trustees should act with a responsible audit board.
Are you suggesting we went to the Charity Commission?
No.
Okay. I think that ought to be your
last resort
because that is quite desperate.
I've seen much of this going on for the last 10 years, where certain individuals just do what they want to do and ignore the rules.
What?
This is why...
I would certainly, personally, I would like this committee to send, not you personally, a response from the committee to Phil's email. I objected to it. I didn't think it was well worded. I did think it caused some degree of offence. I did think it was patronising. And I think this is not a constructive way to go forward. And I would like this committee, me personally, this is just my view, to actually register.
To task, you received management's response to the audit. We supported that audit. And management then went and overturned that in the Board of Trustees. That is not acceptable to us. If that was management's wish, the Chief Executive should have said to you, I don't agree. Mm. You should not have had to have lost face in the Board of Trustees when the management team had all previously accepted the audit and now is overturning it.
But as I understand it, they were saying they didn't see the need for the board. Is that correct?
National auditing conduct.
Yeah. I feel quite uncomfortable with Tony Holmes because I sent him the information which he'd had a fortnight or 3 weeks to look at. When I had a meeting, he was very positive. What he said is that he was really pleased that we were now auditing. He was very supportive of auditing. He thought it was a really good thing for the society, and he was encouraging it. I then sent him my draft, and he had a week to look at that, and he came back with a few minor changes, but generally his email said he was supportive, and somebody's got at him, I think.
I think he probably blows with the wind once he sees that all the trustees are rejecting it.
He won't support it. I don't want to put him in a difficult position.
My I can't comment on that part.
No, no, no.
You see, the biggest problem is I don't think we've done anything wrong. I think we followed the remit we were given by the trustees, and we followed the guidelines of the Charity Commission and various other auditing organisations who said that's the sort of things you should do. We've asked the difficult questions. We're supposed to ask difficult questions. It doesn't mean we are against the society or criticising it. We have done what we've asked to do, and we have to be allowed by the trustees to work within that framework. We have to be independent. We have to go and look in and lift a few carpets and things like that.
So, is there a possible...
When we get to the second major set of audits and we put those forward, we're treated like naughty schoolboys and we have to get Nanny to give us the answer. It's not right. It's wrong. I think a number of other people don't want to be in a charity which says, well, we'll have an audit board so it looks we're respectable. And we'll have a few toadies who are prepared to say, we agree with you, trustees, and everything's great and perfect. Well, I'm not prepared to do that. I'm prepared to do the job that we've been asked to do, and to do it properly and rigorously and honestly and within the guidelines of the Charity Commission. I don't have to, in my view, start changing my behaviour and the structure and mechanisms of this board to please the trustees.
I'm not saying to please the trustees, but I'm starting
to say,
I think there's one other thing, I don't know whether this goes to the trustees or to Simon, that the finance director has effectively stitched us up.
No,
what?
I don't think that's appropriate.
No.
Say again?
I think he was probably in a difficult position.
He's
a good lad, actually.
Yes.
You know, so I'm sort of slightly sympathetic towards him. I sit on a committee with him. He's a good, honest, decent man.
So
I don't think he's deliberately stitched you up.
No.
I think he's been rolled over by more powerful characters than he is.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that sound fair?
He wants to look after his wife and kids.
So we're just going to stick with a letter. This is for 11 years. There should be a committee set up to appoint the auditors, and they should have a period of no more than 5 years. And they're going to audit that and tell us that they agree or disagree with that. That wouldn't happen in any other organisation.
The point is, that's only one of the recommendations. Yeah. And that one has been taken forward because we are looking at we are actually doing a review of the audit.
But that should be made known to Hayes McIntyre.
Why? Well, Hayes McIntyre know about anyway. They know that guideline is there. I don't think
is private to the society.
But we see, I asked that question.
Well, there was just a lot of misunderstanding of the trustees of what their audit board is expected to do.
But the depressing thing is we're still in that position.
Unfortunately we are, yeah.
They still do not seem to understand.
If we do the letter, I mean, does that mean we put everything else on the hold? Or
will you start the letter going?
I will start the letter going. It is only a straw man.
Yeah.
Is that the word?
Yes.
It's just trying to pull together the general feeling.
It may get preempted by Jane Middleton's mates at Hayes McIntyre saying we agree with you, Jane. And then we'll have another set of
yes. I think we need to anticipate that that is likely to be the case.
Yeah.
Because after all, are they going to back a board of people they have no contact with, or the finance director who appoints them?
But if Hayes McIntyre do that, and you know, I mean, if say it is.